Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, again we offer up praise and thanksgiving unto Thee, the giver of every good and perfect gift. Father, we praise Thee for Thou art God and that Thou art worthy. And we praise Thee, Heavenly Father, that You've been merciful to us and that You've loved us with an everlasting love. And Father, we offer up thanks for all the many blessings You've bestowed upon our life. Father, You've provided those material things that we stand in need of and provided abundantly for us, Father. But more than that, You've given us spiritual blessings, Father, and You've given us peace and joy in our hearts and caused us to praise Thee, Heavenly Father. And not only have You loved us, but You've caused us to love Thee and to love one another, and we're thankful for that. We ask again, Father, Thy blessings upon the sick and the afflicted, the poor and needy, and pray that You'd supply every need. Help us always to be mindful of Your blessings and praise Thee for it. We ask, Father, that You would bless us in the study of Thy Word. I pray that You'd bless me to preach the gospel. Bless each one of us to hear and to understand, and help us, Father, to walk closer to Thee in days to come. Forgive us our sins, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite your attention this morning to the book of 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and I want to read verses 17 through 20 to begin our study. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. And I do plan this morning to begin a rather informal series of messages concerning our identity in Jesus Christ, and talk about who we are in Christ as a result of what He has done for us. It is always very difficult for me to lay proper groundwork for a sermon. You know, I'd like to be able to go back and give you all the details of all the settings of the Scripture, what went before and went behind, and the set the context in a lot of detail, and we don't always have time for that. And sometimes my mind gets to running ahead of me to the point that I really don't know which way to go, so I want you to pray for me, and I'm going to try to develop this the thought somewhat in detail, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to all of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and beginning at verse 17, of course the writings of the Apostle Paul, and he said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God." Now, of course, the point that I want to emphasize there, that the Apostle Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Or sometimes we use that word creature in our modern language in a rather negative sense, but it simply means we're a new creation. There is something here after the grace of God has touched my life that was not there before. And the Apostle Paul also referred to it as the new man. And we're going to look at some of those passages in just a moment. But I want us to understand what this new creation or this new creature is. I hope that we'll be able to look at some of the blessings, the privileges, the opportunities, but also the responsibility as new creatures or a new creation. And we can see in this particular passage, and this morning won't go into all the details of these verses that I've read, but Paul said we're ambassadors for Christ. So we are made to be representatives of Jesus Christ in this world. That entails a lot of responsibility. But if He has given us the responsibility, we must understand that He's also given us the ability to fulfill those responsibilities. So in the coming weeks, Lord willing, that's what we'll be looking at, responsibilities, abilities, and things of that nature. But we go back in this fifth chapter to, I guess, about the 14th verse. In the preceding verses, there's some that have accused Paul of being beside himself. And that's just another word of saying you're a little bit crazy. And I think Paul would admit being beside himself for the sake of Jesus Christ. But in verse 14, he says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which should live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." So Paul said that love of Christ is a constraining thing. It shapes and forms the life of God's children. And it changes the course of what we have been, what we are by nature, and what we are as this new creation in Christ Jesus. But he talks about one dying for all. And I understand, as we talked about the absolute expressions in Bible study, and when he talks about all, I don't believe he's talking about absolutely all of mankind, but all those that that God chose in Christ, all those for whom Christ died. And that's not all of Adam's race. That's a particular and a peculiar people. But when Christ died for all of those, in God's view, they all died. And you know, sin reigns unto death. And in Christ, we've all died to the power and the penalty and the influence of sin. So we're a new creature according to God's law. We have new rights and new privileges. And all those infractions of the law that were against us, we're dead to all that in Christ Jesus our Lord. But don't ever forget that this new creature, with all the privileges and blessings that we have as new creatures, came at the price of the life of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. All that He suffered on the cross and pouring out His blood unto death paid the price that we might be these new creatures. Now, it ought to be very logical in our minds that if God paid that price for us, we're very valuable in His sight. But that also puts a lot of responsibility on us to live as He intends for us to live. What does it mean to be in Christ? We could devote an entire message and more in that expression. But to be in Christ means we're a part of Him. We are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Our Heavenly Father chose us and bestowed His love upon us. We've been baptized into Christ or immersed in Christ by the Holy Spirit. When we were born again, we become a part of Jesus Christ, bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. And it means that Jesus Christ is our head and our representative, that all He did on the cross was in our place and on our behalf in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, if you will, turn with me in the book of Ephesians to the fourth chapter. Ephesians chapter 4 and beginning at verse 17. And again, we begin to see the responsibilities of new creatures. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, Paul said, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, So you don't walk as others walk because you're not as others. You're different. You're a new creation. And verse 18, and he's talking about other Gentiles, but this describes us in our human nature, or that old man, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of the heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Lasciviousness is simply lawlessness or without control. Verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So Paul shows us there the old nature. He calls it the old man. That's the way that we are as we are born as Adam's children before the grace of God touches us. But then he talks about the new man. That's that new creation in Christ Jesus. And he said that new man is after God, created in righteousness and true holiness. You know, there's a part of us that is absolutely true and pure and holy and sinless. It's that new man. And sadly, we still got that old man that so often drags us down and causes us a whole lot of trouble. And Paul, again, talks about that in the book of Romans in the 7th chapter. Romans chapter 7 and beginning at verse 14. And remember that the language that Paul is using here, he's talking about himself by nature. He's not talking about necessarily that new man. He talks about wanting to do certain things. He can't do them. That's old natural man and the trouble that he causes. Romans chapter 7 and beginning at verse 14, he says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Even though the law of Moses gave commandments, and you know, a natural man, you didn't have to be born of the Spirit of God in order to fulfill the demands of the law in an outward sense, to go through those ceremonies. And when God commanded that you bring an offering for sin, that you just take your lamb or whatever it is and carry it to the tabernacle or the temple and offer it there, it doesn't take a spiritual man to do that. But to understand the meaning of the law, to know that you needed to do that because you have offended God, and to understand that God is willing to accept a sacrifice on your behalf, and when you go to the tabernacle and confess your sins on the head of that lamb, that God will accept that as a sacrifice for you. You know, that takes a spiritual man to understand that. Going through the motions is one thing, understanding the meaning is a different thing. It takes a spiritual man. But by nature, Paul said, I'm carnal. A carnal man can only go through the motions and no more. He says in verse 15, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do." Now, you know, that language might seem a little bit hard to grasp, but Paul says, there's things in my mind I know that's right, but this old carnal nature causes me to do other things. I want to do what's right, and I find myself doing wrong because of that old Adam nature in me. He said, "If I then do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good." When I know that I'm doing wrong, well, that's just admitting that the law is right and I'm wrong. "Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." It's that old man. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. I can't find in my nature, in this carnality, how to do the right thing. The carnal nature says, satisfy self. But it has no provision for doing what's right and pleasing God. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Well, Paul said there's a warfare that goes on with me. That new man is fighting against the old man. The new creation is at war with the old creation. And Paul said he found so often that it was that old carnal nature that directed his life and dictated what he actually did. In the book of Colossians, in the third chapter, and again we're finding this same idea expressed. Colossians chapter 3, and we begin reading at the first verse. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Now, I want to pause in reading there to point out the fact that Paul said, set your affection, singular. The focus of your life, the main motivation of your life, set it on things above. Paul understood very well the necessity of this life, of living and earning a living and all those other things. But still, our focus was to be on things above. Everything that we're to do, that we do on the earth, is to be done with our minds toward Jesus Christ and pleasing Him. So you set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So you're dead to the old man and his bondage. We're loosed from that bondage. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. So those things that Paul mentions there are the things of the carnal nature. And he says, mortify them, that is, put those things to death. In which ye also walked sometimes when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Now, Paul has many times in his writings used the figure of putting on, putting off the old man and putting on the new man. And he's using the figure of a garment. Just like I could take this coat off, I could put this coat on. We're to take off that old man and put on the new man. Follow the dictates of that new creation in our heart. Galatians chapter 6. And beginning at verse 14, notice, and I Most of the references this morning are the writings of the Apostle Paul. But notice his expression here in Galatians chapter 6 and beginning at verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Now, Paul said, God forbid. And I think that is a prayer that's saying, God, don't allow me to glory. That's the old man, and the old man seeks his own glory, and Paul is praying that I would not do that. He said, all those things are dead to me in Christ Jesus. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. What you are by nature, what you are by birth, none of those things matter. What is important is this new creation, this new man in Christ Jesus. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be upon them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So, we see there that Paul is desiring God's glory, and Paul recognizes that that new creation is the all-important thing. Now, in the prophecy of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 13, the prophet was addressing sinful Israel and really posed the question, can you change yourself? But the question he asked would apply to us by our nature as well. Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse 23. The prophet said, can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. What the prophet is saying there, that we can't change our essential nature. That Ethiopian, a black man, can't change the color of his skin. The leopard is born with that spotted coat. He can't change that. That's his nature. That's what he was born with. Unless there's some change from without, they'll always be in that condition. Israel, unless God changes them, they're always going to be a sinful people. That's their nature. That's our nature. We can't change ourselves until that new creation. As long as we're in the flesh, we'll do what the flesh dictates. We'll follow the leadings of our carnal nature. But there's one who changes us. There's one who can make things new. Notice in Revelation chapter 21, and I'll close with these last thoughts. Revelation chapter 21 and beginning at the first verse. And notice that John's vision here, he begins with saying, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And there are people who take that literally and think this earth is going to be done away with, and a new earth, or it's going to be changed some way to be made new. But I think that's used figuratively. We're going to see a new order of things, a new heaven and a new order of religion and a new way of doing things upon this earth. But he said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. There's one sitting on the throne that said, I make all things new. And I believe what John's seeing here is a figurative representation of Jesus Christ establishing his church, that new Jerusalem. It came down out of heaven. That is, the pattern and all the things concerning the church are of God. Coming down from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And that speaks of the intimacy of the relationship between Jesus Christ and his church. And he said, I heard that great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God and Jesus Christ is dwelling in the midst of his church. And that one who sits on the cross, Jesus Christ, said, behold, I make all things new. There's a new creature that's not bound by the law, and not the law of sin and death, and not bound by carnality, and not bound by sin and all of those things. He's been set free through Jesus Christ. He's been given new hope and new promises, new joy, all things new in Christ Jesus. And remember, Paul said, well, we've still got that old man. And we need to be careful because he'll drag you down. He'll try to rob you of all the joys of that new man. And we need to know our rights, our privileges as new creatures in Jesus Christ. We need to know what Jesus Christ will do for us and what he will bless us with. So, Lord willing, I hope that we can see in coming weeks some of those wonderful blessings, some of the great privileges that we have as this new creation, as the children of God. And may we rejoice in it, is my prayer for Christ's sake.